Vayishma Yisrael Koyen Midyan Koyesei Moshe. Yisrael, the priest of Midyan, the father-in-law of Moshe, heard. Et kol asherosa elikim l'moshe l'Yisrael amai. Everything that elikim did to Moshe and Yisrael, his nation. Ki hoitzi Hashem as Yisrael mi-Mitzrayim. That Hashem took Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. So the pasuk starts out with the name Elikim. It's kol asherosa elikim l'moshe l'Yisrael amai. And then it says, Ki hoitzi Hashem as Yisrael mi-Mitzrayim. Why does it begin with Elikim and it finishes with Yud Kei Vav Kei? I saw a pshat that this is daima to what it says in Parshas Va'era. By Dabar Elikim El Moshe, by Yomer Elov Ani Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei. It's a similar kind of a thing. What's the pshat? So the Mefarshim speak out over there that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving Moshe Rabbeinu a message. Moshe Rabbeinu complained over there, Lama HaReyosu Lam Hazeh. Why did he do bad to this nation? So by Dabar Elikim El Moshe, Elikim spoke to Moshe, and he says also the business line that any time there's an Elikim, it really is for the purpose of leading up to Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei. May Daber Elikim El Moshe, May Yomrei Lo Hani Hashem. It's also the business line. It appears like Midas Hadim, or the emesis is for the Tachlis of bringing out Midas Arachim, the Midas of fulfilling my promise, which was the case over there. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make Sheba in the shrine so hard at the end? Because he wanted to bring him down earlier. Right? So that's the shot, the same shot over here. It says, Vayishma Yisrael Koyin Midyan, it's Kol Asherosa Elikim L'Moshe. He saw that it started out as Midas Adin. But Kihaytzi Hashem as Yisrael, it's right. He saw the Midas Elikim, but what was the tachlis of it? Kihaytzi Hashem, that it ended up with Midas Arach. Now, the Farsh would say this is especially true by Yisrael. Why? Because Yisrael was one of the three people involved in the Eitzah to be Meshav and Klali. So he knew better than anybody else what Pari had in mind. He knew better than anybody else the depth. You know, like before World War II, there was the Wannsee Conference. The biggest and the best of Germany got together to plot what they were going to do with the Yidden. This was the Wannsee Conference of what to do with the Yidden in Mitzrayim. So Yisrael was there. He was one of the people that was there by the meeting. He understood better than anybody else how hard it was supposed to be for Klal Yisrael. And yet, he was able to see at the end that it turned from Midas Elikim, from the Midas Adin, to the Midas of Yud Kei Vav Kei. There's a part that the belt says over, it says, Hallelujah as Hashem kol goyim, shavuchu kol umim, ki govar aleinu chazdei. So the famous question is, why should the goyim praise Hashem just because HaKadosh Baruch Hu he strengthened his chesed with us? So one of the pshatim they say is, nobody knows better than the goyim exactly what they wanted to do to us, what they wanted to plot against us. They know better than anybody else. So when they see the Yeshua, we don't even realize it a lot of times. Kamal Echoli, Marius, a lot of times you don't even feel the siyata d'shmaya that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us by saving us from the goyim. But they know what they were plotting. So they more than anybody else see the siyata d'shmaya that we have. So Memela Shabuchu Kala Umin. Yisrael saw what went into the planning against Klal Yisrael. He saw the Rachman at the end. So he better than anybody else was able to see the Chesed of Hashem. And the name Yisrael, Rashi says, Shiva Shemus Yeshli. Yisrael had seven names. He recognized the names. Ruel, Yeser, Yisrael, Chayve, Chever, Kaini, Putia. So what's up? He needed seven names. I saw it when Galinsky brings down the belt, says over a joke. Yisrael had seven daughters. He had to make seven chasidus. So every time he had to borrow money to marry them off. And the next time he had to go on a different name. Had to change names for him to be able to make it the next time. Those are given the belt. Upper. The simple pshat is that a name represents the essence of a person. Right? Represents the essence of a person. And Yisrael had different personalities. He went through different matzavim in life. He changed, he went from one avodah zarah to the other. He changed the situation in life. He was constantly searching. He was constantly growing. So, that's why he had seven different names. Because his personality, the essence of his life changed at different times. But Yaakov Galinsky asks an interesting question. Rashi says over here, why is he called Yisrael? Sheyiter parsha achas batayr. Which parsha is that? And you should see, and Shechayu, you should appoint judges. That is the parsha that he added in the Torah. So Belinsky asked, the parsha doesn't start from Vator Techazet. He says, it starts from Yarchay Shemayshit Kalashu Wasalam. Ma'adavar Azeh Sheratay Shalom. It starts from Ma'adavar Azeh. Why did Rashi say that the parsha starts from Vator Techazet? Dr. Belinsky, it's very easy to find criticism in people. Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? You know, a lot of times everybody likes to criticize somebody else. But there are very few people that are able to come up with constructive answers of what to do. So from the beginning of the parasha, of them alone, you know, we wouldn't have added the parasha of Yisrael and the Torah. Why are you doing this? You tell him, come up with all the problems. But when he comes up with an answer, that's Shani's Mamish, he's putting himself into Yenim's Matzah. To him is to come up with an answer. That's why Rashi mentioned about Totechazet. You know, but to find Bikiris against someone, that's an easy thing. The Iker of the year is to come up with the answers to help out other people and to really put yourself into that to their matzah. That's why Rashi mentioned over here about Totechazet. Galinsky said, it was once a bacher by them in Yeshiva, he was a bacher, that bacher used to prepare chaburas and learning, and this guy always used to slog up Yenim's diaries. This is not Muchruch, and that, as far as the Klamah Mestavra, you have no right from over there. Yeah. He never said a shtickle Torah of his own, but he was always there. He always had a good upslug for Yenim. So they used to joke, Delach HaMeh Vesem Shon, he's going to come up to Reilu Mehemes. They didn't tell him who's on a shtickle Torah. So he says, I don't know. He says, Rabbi Yisrael, you say the shtickle Torah, I'll slug it up. You know? It's not a kunst to just slug up Yenim to find fault with Yenim. The kunz is to be able to come up with eitzes. The mela, that's why the Rashi quotes that the ikur of the parsha over here is about Totechazet. Vayava Yisrael choysen Moshe ubonav the ishtay al Moshe al hamidbar. Yisrael, the father-in-law of Moshe, came with his sons, his wife, to Moshe to the midbar. Asheru choyne sham, where he camped there, hara elikim. So Rashi, el hamidbar. Why does the Torah have to say he came to the Midbar? Afanu Yoidim Shem in Midbar Hayu. We know that they were in the Midbar. Why did it have to mention to the Midbar? El B'Shvachay Shal Yisrei Dibar HaKasim. The Torah is telling us the praise of Yisrael. Shal Yayashim B'Chvayde Shalayla. He was sitting mamish in the honor of the world. He was a Mechubdikim person. V'Nodvay Levi. He sacrificed. His heart made him sacrifice. Lotzei Sal HaMidbar Mokam Toyu. To come out to the midbar, a desolate place, l'shmaya divrei Torah, to hear divrei Torah. Later on in Pasuk Ches, it says, "Vayisaper Moshe lechoisnei," and Moshe Rabbeinu told over to his father-in-law, "Is kol asherosa Hashem lepari lemitzrayim al eidos Yisrael." He told him over all the pratim of what happened to Klal Yisrael. And Rashi says over there, why did he tell him over all those things? K'dei lekarve la Torah. To be Makarim to Taylor. So, the Kasha is this. Yisrael left Bechvayde Shalayim. He left, he was Maisa Nefesh Mamish. And he goes out into the Midbar, a desolate place. He's Makar on his own. I want to come and do that. So, you have to be Makarim to Taylor. It sounds like he was motivated enough to come and sacrifice, to come out to the Midbar. So, what's the pshat? He had to be Makarim to Taylor. So, one pshat that I heard was that if you look at Rashi, Rashi uses a lashon, he's medagdik b'lashayne. He says, "Hayayashi b'chvayde shalayla, davay libay lotzis ala midbar makam tayu, lishmaya divrei tayra." He came to hear divrei tayra. That means he wasn't yet willing to be mashabed himself, to avayda, to become a yid. He was willing to listen, right? You know, the same way he searched for avayda zaras, one after the other, he wants to hear what this religion has to say. But it doesn't say he was willing to come and be mishabed himself. You know, I'll taste. A lot of times people are nice vart, they're nice mashava. Oh, it's very nice, but they're not willing to be mishabed themselves. So Moshe Rabbeinu felt that you have to be makarv, that you should be mishabed himself to Torah and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why he was makarv to Torah. That's what the simple pshat, l'shmaya divrei Torah. But I heard a gavaldik pshat, my friend Rav Avraham Eshet Diamond, who's a rav here in town. He told me over a vart that he heard from Rav Shabbat or Shmuel Birnbaum, Zeichet Tzadik Lebracha. Shmuel Birnbaum said, if someone thinks he's sacrificing by coming to learn learn Torah, it's a sign he doesn't understand what Torah is. Torah is the pshat, dos is the Gan Eden. That's our Gan Eden in this world. The Torah is a tremendous oinig. The way of life of Torah is a tremendous oinig. It's the only way to live your life. So as long as a person thinks he's sacrificing the Dovay Liboy, Tepes and the Divas Halei, Shema Mino, he doesn't really understand what Torah is about. Torah is our life. Torah is mamish, our oxygen. Torah is our bloodline. That's what Torah is. You're not sacrificing anything. So this is that without Torah, we wouldn't be able to survive. It's by Kabbalah said Torah, says the Makabim said Torah, Mudah, the Vlad Shante, Purashim, look at the world today. That's far away from Torah, far away from the Torah values. Look at what upon them, with all their freedoms, with all of their advances, look at the punim that the world has today. So if somebody thinks he's sacrificing something for keeping the Torah, that's a siman he doesn't understand what the Torah is about. He taka needs kira of la Torah. Those are gizok hagan yoshmul b'yirmel. Second pasuk, kapitli yudches pasuk yud gimel, it says, Vayeshev Moshe lishbayt es ha'am vayamin ha'am al Moshe min ha'boikar ad ha'orah. Moshe Rabbeinu sat down to judge the nation, and the nation was standing from the morning till the evening. So, I want to ask my shver, like, what kind of dinei Torah did they have when they just went out of Mitzrayim? Like notes, you know, sechsuchim that Moshe Rabbeinu had to be there from the morning till the evening? So he didn't understand the shayla. He answered the question, what do you mean? Like any time you had hilchus niskeshreinim and hilchus, you know, they had their regular petty arguments. Medrash Taka says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give the Torah the minute they went out of Mitzrayim, but they were fighting with each other. And then they camped in another place, and again they were fighting with each other. Finally they came to Har Sinai. Vayichan Shom Yisroel Neged Ahar Ki Ishem Adolei Mechot. Finally he gave the Torah. They had arguments. You overstepped your bounds, your animal was mazik me, whatever it was. But there was simple dinei Torah that they had. That's the simple pshat. But I found brought down that the Svarim Taki discussed the Shaila. The Sefer Paneach Roza, which is from a Kagman, he says there were numerous dinei Torah regarding the Bizes Hayam, the treasure that was picked up in the sea. Because there were those that tainted that certain Shvatim, they got an in, and they took more Biza than they were entitled to, and we didn't get a chance to take it. So they came with Titus and they came with Dinei Torah. They got more Biza than us. They held us back from getting from the Biza. There was Dinei Torah on the Biza's Hayam. The Chizkuni brings down Shemi Yesh Oimrim that the Erev Rav came to be Teveya. You borrowed Kalim from our cousins and our brothers and sisters of Mitzrayim, and you left and you never gave it back. Those were the Dinei Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu had to be done. So, a couple of interesting pshatim in exactly what the Dinei Torah were. When it came out in Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, V'higbalta es ha'om soviv lemar. You should make a boundary for the people around Har Sinai saying, Hishamru lachem alois bahar, u'negoya b'kotzei. Watch yourself from going up to the mountain and touching its edge. Kol hanegeya bahar mois yumos. Anyone that touches the mountain, mois yumos. So the Chofetz Chaim said, Moi de kevart over here. He says, mad of somebody that's negeya in a har, upon which the Torah was given. The din is mois yumos. Kal b'chaim is somebody that absorbs the Torah, somebody that's a Talmud Chacham and the Yerushamayim. And the Torah is not just given on top of him and then leaves. The Torah is mamish a chelik of him. Kal b'chaim is someone that's negeya in the covenant of a Talmud Chacham. Hachumer the din is. Now, where did the Chofetz Chaim say this, Pshat? Where did the Chofetz Chaim say this? There were a group of, I'm not sure if you can call them well-meaning individuals in Europe, that they wanted to come up with an etzer that the yeshivas are not sterile enough. And they're not, hygienic enough, and there's too many people, it's not sanitary. The sanitary conditions in the yeshivas are shvah. They're overloading the yeshivas, and well, it might be a health hazard, and so on and so forth. And they wanted to come up with an etzer. What could we do to possibly alleviate this problem in the yeshivas? Like Kaviyachal, they were almost genuinely worried about the Toyelas HaYeshivas. So the Chofetz Chaim got wind of this, and he wrote a letter. doctor. He was a Chabad. He was a Maiker Rabbi. No, he wasn't necessarily the most Talmudic person. He writes him a letter that, Chvoy, Dr. So-and-so, I hear that there's a shayla of improving the yeshivas with the hygiene, with the sanitary conditions. This is just to notify you that Baruch Hashem, the yeshivas are alive and well, and the yeshivas are flourishing, and everything is beautiful, and the Talmidim are sitting and learning Torah, we take health, and we take happiness, and mamish, there's nothing to worry about. Then at the end, there's a postscript. He writes, Agav, I just want to tell you a vort, and he said over this vort, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Kol HaNegeya B'Hor, you must, someone that touches a mountain, upon which the Torah was given, but the mountain itself didn't contain the Torah, and still come out calling a gebor, my sumas, somebody that rears on Talmidei Chachamim, Kal v'chaim ben b'nai shel Kal v'chaim. That was the postscript, sort of like a hint that you better chepzach up, you understand, find other pastures to take care of different things, you know. You want to be misak in the world, don't worry about the yeshivas, Baruch Hashem, they're fine, thank you. I once said over this part, but I was a Rebbe in Tel, so with every Erev Shabbos, I say over every Torah on the parasha. So I was in the middle of saying over this part, there was an earthquake all of a sudden. Mamash, in the middle of this part, in Cleveland, Pachat Podim, middle of Shir, saying over this part, all of a sudden, you know, it was like very apropos for the, it's a good shake-up, yeah. Anyway, that was an experience. So the Pasuk Vayter. Vayhi koil ha-shoifer, hoilov v'chozek ma'ayit. The koil ha-shoifer was very strong, going on and getting stronger. Moshe yedaber, Moshe Rabbeinu would speak, v'alakim yanenu b'koil, and Hashem would answer, b'koil. So Rashi says, vayhi koil ha-shoifer, hoilov v'chozek ma'ayit. He says, minig hedyit, the minig of a regular person is a simpleton. Kol zman shu marach l'tkaya, the longer the tkir goes, it gets weaker and weaker and weaker. But the shayfer over here, the koil ha-taira, it got stronger and stronger and stronger. So I saw one of the svarim brings down, what's the nekuda over here? Like, what's the significance? That regular shayfer gets weaker and weaker. And the koil ha-taira, it gets stronger and stronger. Many nations have appeared on this world, and many movements have appeared on this world with the blast, with noise, with mamish and moridike, tararam. But at the very end, after all the noise and all the bluster, their sounds die down, they become part of history, you don't hear from them ever again. Whether it was the Romans, whether it was the Greeks, whether it was Babel, the Shaifut, but it dies down after a while. He says, Klal Yisrael, from the time the Torah, they were taken out of Mitzrayim, the Torah was given in Har Sinai. We went through different matzavim with different shverikite and the different gzeiros and different goliyos. The afal pikein, the shofar keeps on getting stronger and stronger. The koil ha-shofar represents the koil ha-tayr. Who would have believed that after World War II, you would see what's going on in Lakewood, in Muncie, in Eretz Yisrael, all over the world. The Torah gets stronger and stronger and stronger. So that's what this Koil HaShofar represents. Koil HaShofar Chozak Ma'ay, despite all the difficulties, despite all the nesyonos, despite all the hardships, everything gets stronger and stronger. I've mentioned already a couple of times what the Chovas Halvavas says, that if you want to see Nisim, that are Me'en Yitzias Mitzrayim, all you have to do is see how the Yidden survived through the Golas. Not only did they survive, but they flourished, and in many cases, they're in a better matzavim than the goyim themselves. And this is despite the fact we have different minhagim than the goyim. We're considered strange to them. There's a sinner that they have to us. And with all of this and all the gzeiros, not only have we survived, but we flourished. And in many ways, our lives are better off than theirs. So that's from the Nisan, that's from Ein Mitzrayim. That's Koil HaShofar Chozak Ma'ayit. I also might have mentioned once before that the Panav Yisroel was once in Italy, he was once near Rome, and he asked his shamish to take him to the Arch of Titus. Shamish was wondering, like, what in the world was the Panav Yisroel, what does he want to see the Arch of Titus? It was at night. Panav Yisroel goes to the Lachim, there's nobody there, and he gives out a koil. Titus! Titus! Where are you? Titus! Where are all of your legions, your hundreds and thousands of legions that marched through this area. Where is all the ammunition? Where is all the kayach, all the power, all the glory that you enjoyed? I don't hear you. Where are you? You're not around anymore. Ah, but what about those yidden that you tried wiping out? What about the Bat Knesias and the Midrashes? But the Midrashes that you tried wiping out, you wanted to obliterate them. Oh, I still hear them very well. I hear them in Yerushalayim. I hear them in Bnei Brak. I hear them all over the world. They're still there, and they're still going loud and strong. This is what he said, you know, Shazmai. It's interesting. The Heilige Satmar Rebbe was also in that area, and he also asked his Shamish to take him there once. And Shamish was wondering, what did he want to do there? He went to that Mokkim, and he was davening. He said to Hillel, and he broke out in Bechias, Meirois, Mamish, heart-wrenching Bechias. You know, for the Churban, that was brought about because of the people that were here. Two different reactions over that's the Pshat. The Pandav Yisrov said, that is what Rum is. Koil HaShoifer is Hoylech V'chozek Ma'ayt. Ayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ha'har. And Klal Yisrael camped there facing the mountain. Zok Rashi, Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad. Like one person with one heart. So the Brisker Rav says a very interesting ha'ara over here. He says, we know that Klal Yisrael, they were Magdim Nasa before Nishma. They didn't say Nishma V'Nasa, which would have made sense. First, let's hear what it is, and then Nasa, then we'll do. He says, man, Klal Yisrael said Nasa before Nishma. He says, this was the key of their being Makabal everything. Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad. Why? If they would have said Nishma before Nasa, let's first hear it. Every person hears something the way he wants to hear it. You know, Kishen Shein, Partzufein, the Shavos, Kachen Deyusein Shavos. Well, I heard that this is what it means. No, I heard it means differently. No. Everybody hears it for his level. And if that would have been the case, then the Kabbalah could not have been Kish Echad B'Lev Echad. Right? But because they said Nasa, we will do. Right? If the Ikar is we will do, and we're not going to go after what we there hear, they're all asking to do equally. So then it was Tatiki Ishachod B'Lei B'Choy. That is the Hagdomen. Because they said Nasa. Had they said Nishma L'Chitchila, then the Kabbalah and the Nasa could not have all been together. Impossible. Because each one hears things in a different way. It's only because they said Nasa. Before we'll think about it, Ravakul Ardas, right? Then it's shy to everybody being Kabbali Asiya and the same Zach. He says, that's what we say in Yom Shabbos and Elish Koyach, how is it possible for them all to come bivris yachad? It's only because nasa v'nishma amru ke'echad. Because they said the nasa before the nishma, that is why they were able to be makabel together. Those are the brisker of. Here's a beautiful remez from the Chedushi Harim. It said over in the name of the Chedushi Harim. Anochi Hashem aleikecha. Zok the Chedushi Harim amoyi dike remez. Anochi Hashem Elokecha starts with an Aleph. The first Mishnah in Shas, Maseches Brachos, Mei Emos Haytorah Neshma B'Arvis, starts with a Mem. The first letter in the Gemara in Brachos is Tana Ahecha Koy, starts with a Tav. Aleph, Mem, Sof, Emes. That's what David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Roish Dvorcha Emes. The beginning of all your words are Emes. The beginning of the Aseres HaDibris, which is the first Sivuyim that they were given, the beginning, and that has the din of Torah Shebichsav, the beginning of Torah Shebaal Peh, which is Maseches Brachos, Mei Emes Haytorah Neshma B'Arvis, and the beginning of Gemara, Tana Ahecha Koy, what is this Tana, where is he going on? Roish Dvorcha Emes, that's a very nice remez from the Chedushi Harim. Shteitin Posik, Staten Posik, says Sheshes Yomim, Sheshes Yomim, washing of the Posik. Over here. Sheshes Yomim Tavoy, was he's a Kamalach Techa. The Yom Hashvi Shabbos Lashem Lekecha, was Sasa Kamalacha, Ato Uvincha Vitecha, Abducha Vamoscha Vemtecha, Vigercha Shebi Sharecha. So, Ruchaim Oizer, and Moshe Brzezinski in the Sefer Achiezer brings down a kasha. Why did the Torah have to, Why did the Torah have to warn us that you shouldn't make your son do malacha? You shouldn't tell your son to do malacha. There's a general law in the Torah that says, it says in the Pasuk, it says, you're not allowed to give him, you're not allowed to give him dvar ma'asurim to eat. So the Torah, this should be nichol in that already. Why did the Torah have to specifically say over here that you shouldn't let them work? So he brings down a terrorist from Rav Chaim Brisker that if it only would have been Seimach on Leisachimum, so that will be an Isser like all other Isurim. All other Isurim, they're Usher. This also is Nichol and that Isser. But Shabbos, Chazal tell us, Shani mitzvahs de Shabbos de Chamiri. There's a special Chumrah of Isser Shabbos. So the Torah had to say over here, Atov Dimcha, to be mazur you that over here, if you let your son do malacha, it's a more chumrah than Isser. That's what Rav Chaim Brisker says. I once heard a Mayu the Kipchak. That the Torah is telling us, Zohi, it's not telling us, don't let your son, B'derech of Drush, not B'derech of Shat, but B'derech of Drush. The Torah is not telling us over here, don't let your son do malacha. The Torah is telling us over here, you shouldn't do malacha in a way that it mainly influences Tovimcha, Uvitecha, Avdech Lamoscha, Ventecha. It's not the Isser of making your son do malacha. It's telling us about how your menucha has to be. Your menucha has to be with such simcha. Menucha v'simcha arla Yehudim. It has to be with such simcha. And such an oinek that it should influence your children, your avodim all around. The Gemara tells us the famous story with Rav Yochanan ben Torsa. Rav Yochanan, the son of the cow. Why is he called the son of the cow? So the Maisa Shehoya, that there was a person that sold his cow to someone else, to a guy. Sold his cow to a guy, right? And the guy worked with it, was doing fine. Came Shabbos, the cow refused to work. Cow refused to work. So the guy hits it and kicks it, doesn't get garnished. He said, it's mekach tois. He goes back to the yid, the cow's not working. So the yid says, it works fine throughout the week. He says, yeah, let me go speak to it. So he whispered in the cow's ear, so it's the wissen sein. Until now, you were mine, you belonged to a yid. It was also for you to do malacha. Now that you belong to a guy, he's mutter. So the cow got up and he started doing work. So the guy was so misspelled that he was Magaya, and he eventually became the Tana of Yochanan ben Tarsa. So what's the pshat? What's the pshat? That this yid, his Shabbos, was so all-encompassing that it affected his entire surroundings, his family, his children, his avodim, his cow. So the Torah is telling us over here, what is supposed to be the oifin? If you're not doing malacha, it should be not only you, but should it overflow, it should be all encompassing in all of your surroundings, and that will be able to be much beyond them. Ramosha, the famous Meiser, Ramosha said over that he had two neighbors. And one neighbor, they both kept Shabbos. But one neighbor used to come, oh, you're so shver to do Shabbos. It's not shver, it's not shver, it's not hayid, mamish, you know. To give up my work for Shabbos. And the other one, Mamish did it with such a tiny Ushver for him also. Well, you couldn't tell on him. He Mamish was Mesameya, was a Gevaldi Gazach. One Nebuchadnezzar's children did not quite shine for Shabbos. The other one did. Favos, because by this one it overflowed into everybody around him. Memela, it had the effect, and they talked of light shine for Shabbos in those difficult circumstances. A good Shabbos, everybody.